The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 8 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Valérie Bayard, and here are today's headlines. Seeing red over Quebec's green policies, McGill Student Union threatened, and did CEQ ministers cause deadly delays? New emails show that the Legault government was aware of the crisis at the CHSLD Huron long-term care home far earlier than it was previously thought. In the spring of 2020, a total of 47 people died within the senior residence due to the understaffing and ill-equipped for crisis. Gabriela Villarroel has the story.
A senior residence that had as little as three staff members for over 130 residents. The CHSLD Heron Seniors Residence was a COVID tragedy waiting to happen. Miranda Campbell, a representative of the senior advocacy group Centra Eva Manderson, says a provincial inquiry needs to be launched into the deaths if we want to better understand whether they could have been prevented by faster government action.
Yeah, I think the families need answers, so we want to advocate for the rights of senior citizens. And a problem like this one needs to be investigated if we want to prevent it from happening again.
Joëlle Arsenault, a leader of the third opposition group, says that the new phone calls revealing staff from CHSLD Heron asking for urgent help are a shocking and disconcerting reminder of just how dire the situation was.
Were left alone and they were abandoned, not only the patients or the elderly, but also the administrators of the CHSLD. And to have to phone the number 811, I was in disbelief, thinking that that was the only way they could possibly call for help.
The government argues that the responsibility fell to the Integrated University Health and Social Services Center, the CIUSSS, which was tasked with ensuring quality services to users and residents of care centers. But Liberal leader Dominic Anglade says answers are long overdue.
To deny that they knew that it was critical where it was critical. They said they knew, they didn't know, the answers are contradictory. It makes no sense. And they have a responsibility to answer those questions.
We will have to wait and see if an inquiry can be launched and whether or not it resolves the question of who is to blame for this COVID tragedy. From Concordia News, I'm Gabriela Villarroel.
It's been 2 months since three basketball coaches from Saint Laurent were accused of sexual assault. Some teachers are discouraged. The kids were assaulted by adults that they can't testify. Many teachers have been trying to speak with the investigator, but they didn't know his identity. It has now been confirmed that teachers aren't allowed to communicate with the police investigator in this case. The school's employees are eager to learn how they can contribute. McGill University threatens to sanction its student union over a controversial pro-Palestinian policy that was voted last month and is causing an outrage among Jewish student communities. Ivan DeJonglet joins us live from the McGill campus with more details. Ivan, why are people upset with this policy?
I'm glad you asked, Valérie. This is indeed a very two-sided subject that shook the McGill community today. The Palestine Solidarity Policy is an international campaign to boycott all companies and institutions that are complicit in colonial apartheid against Palestinians, their words, broadly meaning most companies linked to Israel. The SSNU voted to join this campaign in their last student referendum with over 71% of support. The university, however, sees this policy as discriminatory and firmly positioned itself against it, backed by all Jewish association groups on campus.
What is feared by the university and the Jewish students' community?
Well, they fear to see a rise of anti-Semitism on campus and unrelated hate towards their community. Etan Ben-Sadoud, who is VP at the Hillel Association, said he's seen what happened in other Canadian universities that followed this policy, and he's scared to see similar injustice happen here.
If we look at what's going on in Toronto, they tried to adopt this sort of similar policy where they said, okay, we're going to defund anything that has to do with Israel. Jewish students no longer have access to kosher food. I mean, that's a clear anti-Semitic attack. Now, Jewish students, you know, they don't feel safe and included on campus because they can't have the food that they're required to eat.
What is the student union saying about this?
The union says that it's not only defending the policy, but also the right for students' democracy. the university threatened to suspend defenders of the SSMU and to prohibit them from using the McGill name if the union doesn't repeal the motion. Such pressure obstructs student democracy, they say. But with an abstention of 90% of students in the last election, the union should maybe focus first on uniting students rather than dividing them.
Thank you, Ivan. Fraud attempts are starting to annoy Canadians. According to a new poll from Interact Corp, 86% of Canadians are fed up with attempted fraud. More than half of survey respondents have said that this happens at least once a week. The most common type of fraud is identity fraud, and 8 out of 10 respondents say that they aren't informed enough on how to avoid fraudulent calls, especially during COVID times. In order to avoid being scammed, you shouldn't give personal information and call the cops if you sense fraudulent behavior. House sales are going down in the Montreal area, but prices continue to rise. This is pricing many people out of the market. Matteo Michelli joins us live for more details. Matteo, what is going on in the Montreal real estate market right now?
Well, as you said, Valerie, prices continue to rise despite sales have slowed. Residential property prices in Montreal area rose an average of 17% in March compared to the same month last year, while the number of transactions decreased by 10%, report the Association of Quebec Real Estate Brokers. This is mainly due to the fact that the market persists in favor of sellers with a growing bidding war. I contacted Laurie Gauthier, a real estate agent, to know more about what's going on.
So it's mainly because we're in a buyer's market and there aren't enough properties on the market for the number of buyers. So most of the transactions are occurring at an overbid, which caused property price to rise high.
Matteo, are the prices going to keep going up?
That's a great question. According to the Quebec Real Estate Board, sales need to fall to a level significantly below what was seen in the pre-pandemic years at the same time of year. The new increase in the key interest rate expected on April 13 should keep calm things down further. I also talked with Robert Frank, a political analyst. Listen to what he had to say.
The Canadian housing bubble, which is the second largest in the world, is likely to deflate during 2022. Whether it will deflate slowly or pop remains to be seen because there is some speculation in the market.
So finally, what are the highlights of March 2022?
So, for the median price of a single family home reached over $500,000 in March, an 18% gain compared to last year. Condominium prices registers a 16% increase, bringing the median price for this housing category to over $400,000 last month. Sale for the month is down 13% from March 2021, and finally, new listings last month are down 9% from March of last year.
Thank you, Matteo. Boris Brott, a Montreal conductor and artistic director of the Orchestre Classique de Montréal, passed away Tuesday after a hit-and-run in Hamilton, Ontario, at the age of 78. Many were in disbelief after the news, and the OCM sent their condolences through a Facebook post. The Hamilton police said that they were called on the scene after a driver was allegedly driving on the wrong side of the road. Brott was sent to the hospital, where he later succumbed to his injuries. Our team sends condolences to the family. After a shock report by UN climate experts, which announced that greenhouse gas emissions should peak by 2025, questions about climate issues and carbon-neutral environmental promises that were made are multiplying. Adrian Gardner has the story.
Concerns about the future take have greater importance as the ministry's new review for the 2020 and 2021st year reveals that the importance of carbon neutrality in major projects has been blatantly reduced. Spokesperson for the official opposition group Dominique Anglade remembers the ECO project that was promised back in November, whose goal it was to finally act on the situation that we have to face today. She says the fight against climate change is the number one challenge for the 21st century. It is the reason why we launched the ECO project, $100 billion of investments before 2050 to fight against climate change. This means the nationalization of green hydrogen so that we can appropriate the wealth. Sylvain Gaudreau, spokesperson for the third opposition group, explains how he feels about the situation and how to move forward from now.
How to dismiss the damage? All of them. Projects must be analyzed on a sustainability basis. And obviously, the government has failed to do so.
To justify its environmental record, the ministry points to the pandemic and the economic recovery, saying the pandemic, by its urgency and importance, diverted some of the effort to the priority of working on economic recovery. Concordia University Prof in Climate Science Damon Matthews reacts to the little effort put into climate issues by the government.
Absolutely. You know, now is the time, if we're spending money on, you know, anything, especially new infrastructure projects or you know, big government spending packages, that the climate needs to be a central part of this.
We will be waiting to hear more information regarding this matter. For Concordia News, I'm Adrian Gartner.
For sports news today, the Canadiens lost against the Senators, the Raptors snatched a win against the Hawks, and Laurence Vincent Lapointe announced her retirement from canoeing. Isabeau Delacour has our sports news.
Stutzlaff, back feed. Norris, one-time drive, score! The tip in front! Batherson got the touch!
Brendan Gallagher returned after missing 8 games due to a lower body injury and scored his 6th goal of the season, but did not manage to help the team win. The final score was 6-3 for the Ottawa Senators, and the 3-3 tie in the third period was broken by Colin White. The final victory shot was striked by Austin Watson. The Canadiens still have plenty of matches to claim victory. Let's hope their next game against the Devils on Thursday will be the winning one for the Habs.
Chance at a 3rd in this matchup.
The Canadiens won against Germany in the World Men's Curling Championship. The delicate ice conditions pushed Canada to live through ups and downs during the match. First losing 5-1, the Canadian team came firing back up with a 6-0 score. Brad Gushue says his team has been recharged by this win and they are ready to confront their next opponents. Their next match will be played against Sweden this morning and Finland later in the day. It was a memorable goodbye that sprint canoeist Laurence Vincent Lapointe announced on her Instagram page. At the age of 29, she is retiring.
I've accomplished everything I wanted to do by going to the Olympic Games and finally seeing the women be allowed in the Games.
After winning silver and bronze medals in her Olympic debut last year, Lapointe says that she's satisfied with what she has achieved during her sports career. With 11 gold medals to her palmarès, she was also an advocate for women in sports. She says she will now continue on with her new career as a physiotherapist.
Back to Barron. Barron.
Yesterday was an important date for the NHL 20-year-old newbie, Justin Barron. For the first time in his career, he scored a goal for his team in the Montreal Bell Centre. With no doubt, this will remain an unforgettable moment for him. Lastly, the Toronto Raptors won over the Hawks with a score of 118-108. This broke the Hawks' 5-game winning streak and allowed for the young team to stand out. Next, they will host the Philadelphia 76ers on Thursday.
Thank you, Isabel.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both.
You ought to know that Alanis Morissette has been confirmed for the Festival d'été de Québec thanks to a Swedish punk group which accidentally leaked the lineup on social media. Mill & Collin published a photo with the names of artists playing at the festival before the official announcement, which is supposed to happen this morning. Alongside Morissette, the bands Sum 41, Garbage, Pennywise, and many others will perform on July 15th. On the weather front, you'll need to take advantage of this beautiful sunny day, because the rest of the week will be pouring rain. People from Pierrefonds, be careful because of the potential of flooding. And for the rest, we will see temperatures between 7 to 10 degrees until Sunday. But don't worry too much, because we'll be starting next week with better conditions, with a high of 11 degrees on Monday. That's your news till 11:30. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Valérie Bayard.